This is talk show host Charles Goyette, author of The Dollar Meltdown, and I'd like to introduce you to Doug Cloud, who joins us by telephone. Doug is running as a Republican in the 6th Congressional District in Washington, area around Tacoma, running for Congress. He is a former deputy prosecutor. He is an attorney in private practice and on the line with us. Doug, how do you do, sir?
I'm fine. How are you, Charles?
It's good to get a chance to visit with you. I did my basic training up in your neck of the woods many, many years ago.
At Fort Lewis?
Yes.
Wow.
I think it was 2 months in the wintertime, and I never saw the mountain.
Yes.
It's beautiful country, though. You're a native of that area, aren't you?
I am. I've been here all my life, and I've certainly seen the changes that have transpired.
How is your campaign going? Tell me about the race, who you're running against, what you have for a primary and a general.
Well, I am running ultimately in a general against Norm Dix, who is a 33-year incumbent.
That's about long enough, I would say.
Yeah, I think so. He's been certainly inured into the Washington, D.C. culture to his detriment. Now, there is also a young man who has just entered the race, Jesse Young, in the primary as a Republican as well.
So how do you distinguish yourself in a race like that with a 33-year veteran incumbent?
Well, you know, I am basically running a campaign against corruption, the institutionalized corruption that Congress has allowed itself to become. And we have a prime example right here in this district of Mr. Dix, who had just recently gotten through an ethics probe in the House and also faces apparently an investigation at the current time by the Justice Department.
Well, it's nice to have an opponent who's been softened up by criminal prosecution.
Well, that's, there's no criminal prosecution yet.
Not yet.
Well, I got to be, you know, I'm just, my understanding is he's under investigation, and that's the extent of it at this time.
Mm-hmm. What may he have been up to?
Well, I think this is related to the PMI lobbyist group out of Pennsylvania that has come under such scrutiny for essentially influence peddling.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time we've run across that. All right, let's talk about your views about some of the specific issues. And assuming that you prevail and that you're sworn into Congress next January, what do you intend, what do you believe can be done about the state of the nation and failing prosperity, and what do you intend to do about it?
Well, quite frankly, I think most of the solutions to our problems lie in our existing Constitution. However, it has to be interpreted in its more traditional fashion, predating the expansive readings of the 1930s and thereafter. We had originally a constitution that severely limited the federal government power, and that was understood to be its function. The federal government was to be a limited government. Yet, there is no limit at this time. Obviously, the Constitution has been undermined, and we must go back to the Constitution the way it was originally intended.
Well, how do you see the economic crisis in America? I mean, it's the view of a great number of people, I am among them, who believe that a very, very serious crisis is already now, so to speak, baked into the cake, and it can't be averted, even should we get a number of persons like yourself in Congress who show some restraint. The money's already been spent. The debts are very, very real. They're out of control, and they're beyond what this economy or the American people are willing to service.
Well, I want the job. I think I can handle it, and I think the solutions are there. First of all, we have to let our economy function in a free market way. Obviously, the prices of all goods and services must be allowed to adjust to their true market clearing price. Once we get to that level, things will pick up immediately. We have to write off bad debts, and we have to recognize reality for what it is. We have to free the American people from the over-restrictive regulations on their own labor, which inhibits the ability of employers to hire them. Those are just for starters. We have to have realistic economic views in order to solve our economic problems. Right now, our only economic view in the current administration and throughout most of the Washington establishment is print more money, spend more money, debase the dollar, enslave the American public in a heavier and heavier burden of debt and taxation, which, of course, is tyrannical.
What do you have to say about the role of the Federal Reserve in this operation, and what should be done about them?
Well, the Federal Reserve ultimately is the trigger of any financial crisis since its establishment, through its role of inflating credit and allowing credit to result in an overextended state, which of course results in a bust. The problem being, prices don't adjust rapidly enough to coincide with the extent of the bust, creating slack at every level of the economy. Our current administration seems to be hell-bent on holding up that falling price structure to the detriment of the economy and the American people.
Can the Federal Reserve be more than audited? Can the Federal Reserve be eliminated from our monetary system?
I think ultimately, I don't think it can be done immediately, but I think certainly we must consider that as an option. But I think initially we have to accept the fact that there should be competing currencies of every type, including privately based gold-backed currencies, in which case we'll see who has the better argument.
Yeah, it's pretty persuasive that if the U.S. dollar is respectable and dependable, we shouldn't need any legal tender laws. People don't have to be forced by law to use a currency of self-evident value, do they?
No. And another thing that's implicit in that whole argument is the fact that we have to have a steady, reliable, constitutionally based rule of civil and criminal law in this country. That is a very prime motivating factor for our country's prosperity through the years. People could rely on a contract being a contract. It's specified in a constitution. Yet here we have now contracts being ripped up all the time in the form of a congressional action.
That's interesting. You certainly have a background that would give you more expertise on that. Give me a description of what you mean. How does that problem manifest?
Well, the rule of law has been undermined most recently by the government forcing lenders to, or at least threatening to force them, to write down principals on existing loans. Now, if that is a proper market clearing mechanism, the private market should determine it. Perhaps it is. However, the government picking the winners and losers inevitably screws things up by misallocating resources, more often than not, at a higher rate to the fraudulent characters.
Well, you'll send all of Congress packing and on vacation then, because this is their sole occupation. I mean, even more than creating foreign wars is fixing prices. It's something that they do with a great deal of enthusiasm, and they do little else, really. If you take a broad view of the way prices are fixed, this is the sole occupation of Congress today.
Right, and it's killing us. It's absolutely killing us. If we don't allow the beautiful, wonderful genie of price flexibility and freedom of contract to exist, we cannot have the ultimate prosperity we deserve, which is probably at least twice what we have now.
Yeah, you would think it would be a pretty self-evident axiom that there is a very, very close relationship of economic freedom and prosperity, but I guess a lot of people don't really get it, Doug.
Well, now, that is the challenge for us candidates. We have to make that clear to the public, and really, that is the key, making the complex simple, because the public can understand these things. They understand it intrinsically, but they need a leader to express that, and that's the real challenge for any candidate, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Let's spend a few minutes on foreign policy. Give me the Doug Cloud thumbnail sketch of American foreign policy.
Well, we're doing it on a credit card, number one. Let's recognize that fact. That is not a long-term sustainable position and leads to a country's impoverishment. That's number one. Number two, the current situation. We have two land wars, essentially, in both Iraq and Afghanistan. In regards to Afghanistan, I really think that any time we go to a war, any theater of the war, we have to have a absolute objective, and ultimately, and actually initially, there should be a congressional declaration of war. In the current situation in Afghanistan, we have neither. We need to have a clear policy and a declaration of war, or we need to get out at some point in the reasonable future without unnecessarily abandoning allies in a precarious position and without allowing the military their say in how to properly consolidate what has been accomplished, because there has been some things that have been accomplished. However, from a broader view, we have to think ultimately about the strength of our economy and the strength of our freedom and the strength of our ideals being the ultimate strength of our country and our Western civilization. And that alone is really our best protection. Yes, we must have a strong military, especially to protect our borders and our ideals. But again, we can't live life. We can't fight a war on a credit card. It's crashed and burned every empire before us.
We're having a conversation with Doug Cloud, a Republican candidate for Congress, the 6th Congressional District in Washington State. This is the area in and around Tacoma. So what are the other issues that are playing large in Tacoma? When you go to the Tea Party rallies, what do people have on their signs? What are people concerned about in the Tacoma area?
Well, the people that attend the Tea Parties, I think, ultimately are concerned about those two issues: the fact that our economy has a lot of slack in it right now, and they believe, at least if they can't verbalize it, they believe it's the government's fault. And you know, the exact whys of it, they all have their individual reasons, I suppose. Most of them point to specific economic impacts the government has had. For instance, a business owner will say, look, what else can they take out of me? How can I keep going? I have had to lay off 100 people from my construction company, or I've had to shut down this sawmill, or whatever it is. That's their complaint, and they have that individual pressure point that they complain about. But ultimately, the problem is the collapse of the credit bubble, which is caused by the federal government. They know that.
Well, that's progress if people know it now, because they seem to have been oblivious while the bubbles were being built.
Well, you know, I've been doing this political interest thing anyway before I became a candidate and an economics student for, you know, decades, since I was a teenager or even before to some extent. And Goldwater, when I was 7 years old. And Goldwater had some nice things to say that anticipated our problems. But again, what happened? We got ran over by a complicit, monopolistic, government-controlled media. Those ideals were crushed. Yet, what happened? The 70s, which were ugly up here, ugly. We went through a worse time then in the 69, 70, 71 period, where unemployment up here was 22-23%. Then we went into a stagflation. And then we went into spiking interest rates right at the start of the 80s. People remember that in their soul, if not maybe in their memories. And you know, it's starting to shake out kind of similarly here now. People are scared. There's good people, really quality people, who have worked all their lives, unable to find a job, unable to really look forward to a future. And that's a crusher on the human spirit. And where does that come from? We're running in quicksand. That's what this economy, and that's what each individual in this economy is doing. And we are encouraging people to not work. And if you do that, you kill their initiative, you kill their spirit, and ultimately you cause a general deterioration in the strength of the country. Because you have to have principles. You have to have energy. You have to have drive. You have to have dreams. You have to have a future in order to be a great country. Otherwise, you're Italy.
That's well put. Listen, Doug, when is Election Day?
Well, we have a primary the third Tuesday of August, which is an early, early primary when you think about it. We have all mail-in ballots in most of the state, or most of the district, and therefore they go out at the end of July. So we're coming up on it. So we need any and all help your listeners can give us in the form of contributions, word of mouth. Let's get the excitement going. I mean, it really is up to the candidates now. We have to lead this country. We really do, but we can't do it by ourselves. We're up there taking the abuse and taking the applause, which there's a lot more of it now on these issues and our solutions to those issues than ever before. But again, we can't let it go wrong.
Well, it would be a mistake to end the conversation here without spending at least a minute letting you comment about a major economic engine in your neck of the woods, and that's Boeing Company. What's going on?
Well, Boeing is hamstrung by the government. We have a company that is running in quicksand up here. They do a great job. They have wonderful people. Their workforce is very highly organized and very highly trained and very necessary for our country. But again, we should have twice the footprint of Boeing in this area that we do. They're afraid to hire people. They have a backlog. They had a backlog all through the boom. What are they doing? They can't push the planes out fast enough because they can't hire people because they're afraid to, because of the costs that are incurred by the government and the way they restrict their ability to compete.
Congressional candidate Doug Cloud. The web address is Doug Cloud, just like it sounds, D-O-U-G-C-L-O-U-D, DougCloud.com, 6th Congressional District in Washington State, the Tacoma area. Doug, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Charles.
And thanks to Freedoms Phoenix, freedomsphoenix.com, for the use of their studios for these conversations. I'm Charles Goyette.